It is AFL Fantasy Draft Season, and we're off the back of our annual AFL.com.au Media Draft. And we now switch our attention to preparing for our Bacon Cup Draft. We'll get you draft ready here on a very special episode of the official AFL Fantasy Podcast.
G'day with the traders, I'm Roy, I coach Destroyer, and I'm here with Warnie.
Coach of the Warndogs.
And Calvin.
Coach of Mighty Calvinator.
Pretty exciting podcast, boys.
It's a very special edition because we are looking at draft and draft, the ins and outs and all that sort of stuff, and hopefully help you have a very good draft season because it is a very fun way to play your fantasy. Right, we're going to get started with setting up your league at the beginning. Now, I'm the commissioner of the Bacon Cup. We'll talk a few things about that.
Yep.
What are you about to say? You look like you've got an arrogant look on your head. Do you want to take over? Because I'm quite happy palm off all of that.
All I was going to say is it's important to find a commissioner that's firm but fair.
Yep.
Firm but fair. Organised dog. These are compliments I am giving you at the moment.
Why say it with that look on your face? Anyway, setting up a league, very easy. You go in there, you've got plenty of different settings. Main things, league size. You've got to work out how many coaches you're going to have in your league.
How many friends you've got.
Yep. And for some people, it might be low. Calvin, you're lucky you've somehow tagged on with us. Whether you play finals or not, which you should.
Of course you do.
We have 14 teams in our league this year, so we're going to top 8. Last year, we only had 12, so we've actually expanded the league a little bit this year due to popular demand, and so we're going back to a top 8. Last year, we had a top 6, which worked nicely for that. You can work out how many times you play your opponents, when you start, all that sort of stuff. We turn our bye rounds off because you don't want to have to draft thinking about the buys and having a full side and all that. So we turn that off, which is nice to put our feet up for those 3 weeks. When you're playing the draft, for the actual draft day, you set it up. We like a live draft, so because we've got some people in interstate, we have most of us there together, which is great. If you do have everyone there together, consider the commissioner draft. So you're just running it off one laptop, which would be very fun to do and see it on a big screen, that sort of thing. Always go with the snake, which means that the order reverses for every second round. So first pick has to wait all the way until the end of the second round. But if you've got, let's say, in our league, pick 14, you get pick 15.
I spoke to a very unimpressed person on Twitter the other day.
No snake. Oh.
And he had last pick.
Ouch.
Season over.
You're not getting a great second round, are you?
No.
Now, you can set up how long you want for your draft time. So, like, for a good league is easy for 60 seconds or 2 minutes if you need that. You can put them out to a little bit longer, even 12 hours and 24 hours. So if you want to do a slow draft, when it's your turn, you can have a little bit of a think. You might go through little patches of having a crack
and
that sort of stuff.
You know who would enjoy that?
Who would enjoy that?
Mitch Clear.
Yes, we had our AFL media draft for AFL.com.au earlier this week, and yes, Mitch did take a little bit of time.
But ours was only a minute, right? Yeah. But he bled that minute.
Oh, he got down into single seconds every time. Every time.
A 24-hour one. He'd be licking his lips, wouldn't he?
Is he auto-drafting there? No, because he's actually getting good picks and making the right choices.
Classic.
Shocking. Squad sizes, we go with three defenders, four midfielders, one ruck, three forwards and four emergencies. Plenty of different options there. You can have a look what will suit you. If you've got a deeper draft, or sorry, more coaches in your draft, going one of the longer options or the deeper options will mean that you're drafting pretty deep and it gets pretty ugly. We had that same setup that we had, the 3-4-1-3-4 today with 16 coaches, and that was a bit long.
You're picking you're picking people you may not even know.
Half the challenge is those guys late in the draft that you pick and those smokies, and it probably means that you'll use your waiver wire a little bit more. Have your emergencies on. That's good to have there. That works really well. And captains. Don't have captains in leagues that are bigger than maybe 8-10 at a stretch, I reckon, of coaches in it.
It's always something that people are really passionate about. Usually the people that finished in the bottom half the year before want captains on because they need some sort of stroke of boost.
I like captains on. I like captains on because I think it makes the fun of the draft order.
Confirms what I was saying, Cal.
Yeah, it makes it more enjoyable bottom rocking player up to next year. Yeah, bottom player.
I'd pick 15 in the AFL.com.au draft. I ended up with Treloar, which I'm quite happy about.
That's captain material.
But there were people that took, like Grundy, with pick 5. I don't think they realised that
Cox is playing.
Cox is playing, and captains were
captain's on. Captain's
on, but yeah, so that's interesting. Now, restricted free agents, have them on, because otherwise it's biggest nerd wins, who jumps on there as soon as lockout's over to grab them.
I remember those days.
And you loved it.
Lockout.
But I'd have it on. Have a 1 day is fine. Maybe 2 days you could have if you know that people won't get to it in time. But, I think you need to have that on. And then your trades. I like to have the commissioner approving
you
it.
You do.
This is vital.
Because some people collude.
Yeah.
And it's not good.
It's not.
For the league. For the integrity.
It's horrible.
It's not, is it, Roy?
I hate people that do that sort of thing.
Destroy. Yes, so that's your settings. It's pretty easy. Now, prepare strive yourself for draft day. The first thing you should do is download the official AFL Fantasy Draft Kit that we put together. You can get that from afl.com.au/fantasy. You'll find it nice and easy there to download. Great document. Print it out. Print it out in colour because it looks
very
nice.
Print it out in colour. Oh, but just remember, it's a guide.
That's right.
It's a running guide that we made, what, a couple of weeks ago now.
Still a damn good guide.
It's still a bloody good read. Yeah, no, it's fantastic. No,
so we ranked defenders up to 80, forwards up to 80, the midfielders to 100, and the rucks to 20. And it is a guide. You will not agree with everything, but it lets you help you get set up. I don't agree with it.
It's 2 weeks old.
Yep.
That's why this place is to take notes and put some arrows and things like that. I drafted today in that afl.com.au draft differently to how I'd ranked.
Yeah.
There's a couple of things that had switched around.
But you're not far off.
And that's okay.
And that's the thing.
So no.
Over the JRT, anyone picks up a bit of DPP and you're watching them in the back line going, geez, that's a midfielder there, but they're playing in defence. You can go a little early. Yeah.
So your pre-draft lists, you can get those sorted once you once you're in your league, and it's very important to rank your players there to help you on draft day. Now, how you rank your players, you can use the projections that are there, but you want to give your own projections for that sort of stuff. Now, take into account a little bit of stuff there with injury risk and some roles as well. So what their projection might be on the side or what they scored last year is not the best guide to go with, because it's got to be what you're thinking is happening. So adjust those things, well, as you see fit. Like, for example, in our draft kit, Roy, can you open up to our rankings at the back there? So the
It would be a pleasure.
So on the back page, you've got a really quick cheat sheet where you can have a look at those. But in the midfield, for example, we've probably gone way too high on Rocky. You would probably have him down a lot lower. But there's guys on that list there that who... Where we've ranked them is due to how we project them for this year, not because of what they did last year, but how they will go.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Season.
So that's a prime example of you know, not having up-to-date news. When we had Rockcliffe there at number four, I think that's fine.
Yep.
That's when it was smooth sailing and he was down to play both JLT games.
But he will still probably play round one. And the thing about your draft team, you've got them for the whole time. Got them for the whole year. So as long as you can get through, even if it's a couple of weeks of them maybe not playing or not being fully fit, it's all about what they'll do to get you in the finals later on and throughout the finals.
That makes someone like Hanbury very interesting, doesn't it? Because he should get back to, say, 108.
Yes.
But we let him slide a lot because we're not sure about when he'll start.
You can grab the draft kit, as we said, from afl.com.au/fantasy. Check out things like we've got our busts. So Calvin's named up some players. Controversial at times.
Yeah.
But what is a bust?
A bust is a person that you don't think will maybe average what they did last year.
Yep.
Or I'm basically saying, be careful where you draft these guys. So Brody Grundy is a prime example of that. Gary Ablett is another prime example. Both players need to be drafted, and they need to be drafted early. But what I'm saying with an Ablett is, I think overall he carries like the third highest average going into this season.
So, why are you thinking about him dropping?
So I don't think he should be drafted at number three.
No.
Okay, because I don't think he's going to play enough games.
Yeah, okay.
Right? So therefore, I think he should be drafted top 10.
Oh, yes.
But I'm saying don't go too early on.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Thanks.
So to me, that's a bust. Just be careful where you get these guys.
Okay.
So set up your pre-draft list. That's really important to help you. But if you don't do it, it's not the end of the world because you can check out your things on the site as it's sitting there.
Now, Roy, you use the draft kit and you're a crosser, aren't you? You like to cross them off as you go.
I do. Yeah, I'm a shocker for that. So I like to incorporate a bit of old school where I'll actually take the ranking cheat sheet.
Yep.
And as people pick, I like to cross them off. So you guys know I'm not the most computer literate person.
What do you need to do then if you need to go get a beer?
That's always an issue. I do have to scroll down to the bottom and just make up the guys that I've missed in that time.
Okay,
don't worry, I've got.
So draft day, you are talking about draft day there, Roy, because that's what you're doing as it happens. Now, you want to make it an event.
And that's it.
Mm.
It's the best day on the calendar.
Best day by a mile. Oh,
it's so much fun.
And we love what we do when we have a crack at that. So set it up. Hopefully you can get a lot of people together.
Don't call it a draft evening. Call it a draft day.
Mm.
Take the whole day to enjoy it.
And there's always a bit of Skype or something. You get a spare screen. You've got everyone in the room.
Yep. Now, round one, and I've got the afl.com.au draft up in front of me. No doubts that Tom Mitchell will go at number one in every draft.
100%.
Should. Now, second pick is interesting. Mm. Zach Merritt went before Dangerfield.
Yeah.
You could flip a coin.
I think so.
I think you could too. I definitely.
Where are you guys at if you had that pick today?
I'm back to Danger in front.
You know what? Yeah. I am too. I'm Danger, then Zach.
Yeah.
Because Zach had such a poor score when he got knocked out after dominating 20 points in 5 minutes.
It was amazing, wasn't it? But we've got to remember, it's Danger. He's got runs mega on the board.
Mm.
There's no reason he's not getting better. His numbers, actually, when he plays forward and kicks goals, are more impressive than his midfield numbers.
Yes.
Now, Dusty Martin, he went at four. That's fair.
Don't mind.
Where do we have him ranked?
I think it's a bit too high.
Do you?
Yeah, I don't know. I've got Josh Kelly ahead of him. I like
durability. Mm. And so Josh Kelly went at six, but Brody Grundy went at five. Cam Noakes, he went with him at five. Did he go way too early on the ruck?
I don't think so. Oh,
yes,
he did. 100%.
It's hard, though.
Captains are on.
You've got to go. If you've got captains on, pretty much your first round should be a midfielder. Your captain option.
100%. Brody Grundy should be...
In a 16-coach league we have.
Grundy will be one of the best rucks.
Yeah.
He'll average 100, but you don't want the C on him when these other guys are going 120.
In his defence, we all know why he jumped early on Grundy.
Yeah.
We all know. If you're going, if you've got 16 coaches, 16 coaches need 16 rucks. 12
plus coach is pretty awful.
You need a lot of rucks.
Last year, I went Grundy with my first round pick.
Yep.
But that Cox thing.
So, Josh Kelly, as we mentioned, Rocky went at 7. Calvin, you took him. You just
nothing wrong with Rocky at 7, mate.
Zorko at 8. And then we saw Max Gawn go as the next ruck because Paul thought, well, I want to get the next best ruck. And he has Max as
that's
that.
The thing, because if he snoozes in a snake, if he snoozes on that ruck and takes, say, a midfielder or a forward or whatever, and then all of a sudden it just goes on a massive ruck run, he's going to be left with no one by the time
there
he gets
probably
back.
8 respectable, safe rucks.
Yeah. Yep.
So in a 16-man comp, people are going to have to go over.
Well, then this is what happened. After that, Rory Laird went, but then playing it safe for the next few picks there, we had Ablett, Crouch, Adams, Fife, Treloar, which I took there at 15. Roy, you were the one that took Adams, which is not a bad one.
Two
not
of the best
just,
picks, boys. Well
not
done.
Just thanks. Because he's a good midfielder. You
yep.
a bit multiple bullish on reasons. Him being a DPP.
So he's my captain, and he'll be a DPP for
you
me.
Got yourself into trouble doing that before in the past, but he'll be fine. In round two, that's where we saw some things go different. When it came back around, I went Cruiser as my ruckman because I didn't want to miss
that's
out.
That's a good get.
Roy, you went as Steph Martin.
Cruiser's the best ruckman in the comp.
Well, he was last year.
What'd you get him at?
With my second pick.
Yeah, that's pick 18. Good pick.
And you're then winning, Sam Jacobs went. So people jumped on those rucks. Paddy Ryder there at 25.
There you go.
So, and once that's
it rains, it pours, doesn't
not
it?
Not far from that. That was the last ruck we saw until 32. So guy who had pick one, Michael Rogers, he went Goldie. So his second pick, so he's got Tom Mitchell, and then he went Goldie. And when he came back around on that, so for his third pick for the start of third round, he went defence and went Elliot Yeo. Calvin, where did you take your ruck? Next, Ben McAvoy.
Oh, that's not bad. Like, that's okay.
He is probably the last.
He can be 90-ish.
Safe.
Yeah.
Yeah, he should go 90 again.
Yep.
Hmm.
There's not many there. And that's the thing. That ruck run, be alert. When it starts happening, especially if you've got all these coaches, 16 of them like today, you've got to be ready to go. Because if you miss the boat, you'll drown.
You don't want to be playing the waiver wire, swapping between Bell Chambers and Lundberger and whoever's getting a game.
It's not good.
Yep. So when do you think we start looking at different positions? In a captain's on, you might start looking in the second round.
Yes.
Who is the first one you would pick from a different position in your leagues?
When I have that, I've had a couple of drafts so far, and when I have a free reign, so I've got the one captain option, I've been going to Laird as my first. But when you mentioned Cruiser there, I really do think that might be the correct answer.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I think Cruiser would be the first one you go.
Now, it is probably a bit of it because of how, like, there's no out-and-out star as a forward or a defender now.
No.
That's the thing. Like, a Laird is good to be going for, and he's pretty safe.
With news that Billings should be back.
Yeah.
That That bumps him up a lot.
Sure does. Mm. And Heaney's already played one, so that helps him as well.
So those two should be triple figures.
They should be.
Mm. Mm. So you'll start looking at that. And when you obviously draft, you want to build your team. Have a think about it. Midfielders is where you're going to get the points from, but they do drop off defenders drop off a fair bit, I noticed, with our deeper draft today. So you might want to try to jump on some of those early. Now, we did talk about some DPPs and those potential things. There is a question coming up later, actually. We might use that now. Harry West did ask us, who might move up your draft ranking because of that? Now, some names. Blakely. Cow, you took Blakely, didn't you?
I did. Today? And I got him reasonably early, and probably some may say too early, but I think he could go easily 105 plus. And, of course, once he gets switched back into defence where he's already played one of his JLT games, if he gets DPP, then you're laughing with the luxury of a guy like that, putting him there.
That's right. And other guys there, Whitfield, he'll possibly be defender.
Jordan Lewis, you guys mentioned.
Yep. Hayden Crozier. See, I got him for the bench.
Yeah,
and I'm pretty happy about that because he could be easily on my ground in defence as well, the way I went there. Nick Newman might be able to do that. You got him, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Goddard?
That thought. Goddard? Yeah, I grabbed him probably too early for that thought.
Did you? Yeah.
But at worst, he's 100.
Yeah.
But like, if he's a full, if he's a mid, he's 100.
Yeah.
Rory Lobb, we've talked about a fair bit this preseason for Classic.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a few guys there. That's something you can think about along your way as you're doing that. All right. Want to try to make this quick because a lot of people want to get drafting and making it happening. After the draft, we've got free agents. Now, it's important to keep an eye on that. Roy, you dominated that last year.
Yeah.
The free agents. We're not going to put everyone through the Sicily story again.
Oh, however, what a story it is, though.
You basically keep your eye on it. What things do you look at with the waiver wire?
I look for injuries, opening up opportunities for someone to fill. So if someone's playing a fantasy-friendly role and they get injured, looking at who is going to come into that. And sometimes it's a risky game to play the waiver because you have to release, you know, very serviceable soldiers on your bench there sometimes. It can be risky, but I like to chase who I think, for example, is going to replace in that fantasy-friendly role. Also, when you think some DPPs coming up or even just a role change. And like you said, Dog, the Sicily last year, hopeless as a forward. No one wanted to look at him. When I got word he was moving back, I thought, worth a look. Went early on him and it paid dividends.
And it's important to look across the whole league, not even just your league, but the AFL league, because you might see, oh, this player's out. Oh, that's a role or this player could benefit. So have a look at those sorts of things that you might even be able to stash away on your bench for a little bit. Yep. DPP is another reason, obviously, to have a look at that for guys that you can target.
Long-term too. Some people who are battling to make the top eight will... they'll have someone they're holding that's injured coming back later in the year. If they are struggling for wins, just chasing every point they can, they'll throw, you know, a premium onto the waiver. If you're sitting pretty up the top, I'd love to stash one of them that they've got rid of because you're not in desperate times.
That's it.
Mm.
Now, team to team, trading Calvin. What you look at in that is probably look at other teams and maybe what their needs could be to help you. So you can get a win for them and a win for you, but obviously you always want more of a win for yourself.
Target your weaker friends.
Right.
Like, find the ones that, like, either, you know, look up to you or whatever and just go at them.
So who do you find in our league?
My brother.
To do that?
Just find and go at them at 100 miles an hour and just go, no, don't you understand? You've got this guy, Dustin Martin, and I've got this spud. Didn't you know Dusty's injury? Throw him some lies as well. Like, tell him that he's injured when he isn't. And I've got good rumours that he's going to be out this week.
A good thing to do, apart from looking at all the teams, you can look at them individually. There's a teams breakdown tab on the desktop site. Yeah. That's great to have a look and see if, oh, this team needs a forward, for example. And you might have one stashed away on your bench.
Yes.
It could even be your it could even be a player that you're playing on your field, but you're happy enough with a guy on the bench. And you might be able to get some good currency for those sorts of guys.
A like good trader. Does that, Dog?
Yeah, they do. And don't throw out shocking trades to start with.
No.
You need to have a good starting point. People go, oh, no, it's just a starting point. But you need a realistic starting point where you can negotiate from there.
Can I tell you something else not to do?
Right, go.
And I think Roy does this.
Yep.
No, you don't do the first part. I hate a coach goes, I'll give you this guy, this guy, this guy, and this guy, and they're all on their bench
Yeah.
for your Dustin Martin. Four players for one, mate. Come on, that's fair.
Bet hate.
Right? Isn't that annoying? Mm. But I find it even more annoying when this coach puts those players on their field and pretends they're playing them, then goes, oh, what are you talking about? I've got these four guys on my field and I'll swap you for this, 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 this. And you're like, come on, mate, you're kidding. So don't be an idiot.
Excuse me. That's a pretty good strategy when you're doing your little bullying method that you're doing with your brother.
Yeah, I've done that one too.
So using free agents and trading, that makes a season fun as well, and it's a must. Yes. You don't always win your draft day on the draft day. You don't win your draft league on your draft day.
I drafted a bad team.
And you still were able to win.
Well done, Roy.
Oh, thanks.
And we're checking in now on the line with one of our very good friends and a bloke who is very good at his fantasy football, specifically drafted, is Collingwood Premiership captain Nick Maxwell. Welcome to the show, mate.
Hey, gents. How are we?
Very well, thank you. It's nice to catch up with you again. How's your pre-season going at the moment? You're actually back to the Pies this year.
Yeah, doing a little bit of work, not only on fantasy, but also back at AFL land with the Pies. So, spent the last couple of years with the Giants, but back at the Pies now, so getting around as much as I can and then trying to lock myself in the office late in the afternoon so I can get a bit of study done for the big draft coming up next week.
Yeah, now, we'll squeeze you for a little bit of Collingwood information later, Matthew. It wouldn't be fair to let you go without that. But why do you love playing draft so much?
I just like it because there's only one of every player. You end up quite often in leagues when you get to the end of the season, you're playing finals, there ends up sort of six players different in all the top teams. So I actually enjoy the fact that there's so many different players going around and you also have to sort of have that balancing act and that type of thing. So, I enjoy that one a little bit more. I suppose also because I play a lot of NFL fantasy, so that's the way that they play it over there.
Yeah, it's good fun and that's what we love about it as well, the whole uniqueness. And you've been playing for a little while now, so your league, you said, is coming up next week?
It is, yeah, next week. So, we're starting a little bit of banter coming around and we've got our draft selections. I've got pick three, so it's an interesting spot about pick three. I'm just sort of going through it now as to what direction I'll go.
Yeah, well, this is the question though, Max. How is this decided? How do you and your boys decide your draft order?
Just went random, to be honest. Oh. Yeah,
so, just random. Just,
yeah, because we change every year. There's sort of a few go in and a few go out. And as you know, with AFL footy, you start delisting blokes and things start to change. So we've got a few different ones. We've actually got our new list manager, Ned Guy, who's coming. Ooh. So he's in there, which will be really interesting. Cause if he's not in the final, then I'm going to go to Jeff Walsh and just go, mate, what is going on here? This person talking about.
Be interested to tap into his head and actually see what he's thinking at times. That would be very interesting to have a look at. So you've got pick three then. What are you thinking at the moment? Because it's Tom Mitchell at one. We're on the fence a little bit here with whether it's Danger or Zach Merritt at two. Are you thinking anywhere different to that?
Yeah, well, I think they'll take Merritt. I'm sort of also starting to get right in the heads about him. Obviously, he's got one, so I've been throwing up, Fife, how good this preseason been? Just really, I said, oh, you got it to Ablett. They're going to tag Dangerfield, so Ablett's just going to get off the leash.
And that's important stuff, Maxie. Good.
It is. But you also, I noticed, obviously, downloading the fantasy draft kit that you boys put together and noticed that Merritt went in three. So, and then Rocky at four, which that was an interesting one. I'm sort of, when someone goes to another team, it's always interesting to see what happens, whether or not, because obviously he played some tagging roles the back end of last year for the Lions. So
we're starting to get a little bit worried about Rocky too. He's a little bit underdone at the moment, so.
Yeah, it's a bit of a worry. I mean, and if Dusty, I mean, you're not going to expect him to go backwards.
No.
So he could even go to another level with more confidence and another year on his belt. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting, but I'm probably right now, I'm thinking it's probably only going to be Dangerfield and Merritt that goes at three.
I think you'll get Danger.
Danger's pretty safe. Zach Merritt would be safe if he went to three.
You can't go right. Now, is it captain's on or captain's off for you boys?
Captain's on, so for me, that was pretty important to get one of those top three picks.
Sure is.
Obviously, you can just put them away and lock them away. And it's tougher when you start getting towards those six, seven, eight, because, you actually get them on the back end of when it goes back again through the snake, but there are no real guarantees there because you might get like a Josh Kelly who could get tagged. If you go with an Ablett or a Pendlebury or someone around that, they could get tagged. So you're starting to look at going in different positions, which is, I guess, where I'm going now, trying to work out whether or not coming back the other way at about 13, I'll be, because we've got 8 in our league.
Right, okay.
So if I come back at 13, whether or not you go for it looks to be Chalor, Crouch, Pendlebury, Sloane, or whether you actually try and go for one of the top ones in another position. So that's going to be the challenge.
That is the big question with who you would get in another position and when that falls, because that's going to be so unique to every different draft. Now, you said you've got an eight-coach league. Who else is in that then floating around? That who loves it the most? Who would put in the most time out of the league, do you think?
Oh, Brent McCaffrey, easily. He's been around for probably 8 years now.
So really?
He's obsessed, just absolutely obsessed. So he's also a player welfare manager. Quite often you see he just closes the curtains, locks the door, and he's in there with a player. But then he actually opens the door later on. There's no player in there. He's just been studying up. So,
well, that is player. That's player welfare.
Yeah, it is.
True. He's in. Broomhead's come in for his first.
Right.
For the first time. He said that he loves it. And Oxley's coming back again. Yeah. And then there's sort of a few floaters, just a few sort of mates or people who are connected to us. So it's going to be be interesting. It's sort of a newer mix this year.
Right. And will you guys be together for your draft?
I think we're hoping to be. But there's a couple who are just floating at the moment. We're not sure whether or not they will be. One of them's from about an hour away. So
right.
I'm encouraging them to come up because... yeah, you want to make sure that there's a little bit of banter around
exactly.
there.
That makes it fun
that way.
Now, Max Young, I'll hit you two questions in one here. Now, the first part is, do you target any players throughout a draft that might pick up DPP as the year goes on? And then after that, can you tell me a little bit about Taylor Adams?
I think that's probably a leading question into the second one, isn't it?
Maybe. Yeah, they sort of go together.
I think you do, but you also don't want to outsmart yourself.
Yeah.
If you're actually going to take someone that your confidence is going to go, but then you actually there's a better player in the position that they're currently in, but you're sort of going, oh, no, I'm going to elevate them 5, 6, 7 spots because I think they'll go to that other position. You don't want to outsmart yourself just in case, because obviously Tay spent a lot of time at half back for us this year through the preseason. So, but we might actually get to a point where you get a few rounds in or half a dozen rounds in, you actually we need to swing him into the midfield because we know what he's capable of in the midfield. So.
So is that the early plan? That's the early plan. Then he'll start off the halfback.
Yeah. We would have seen he was halfback all through the first JLT, we'll stick with that early on and see how he goes there. But I mean, that also depends on what happens with a guy like Sam Murray. If Musk gets his chance and comes in and takes it, then that sort of gives you that extra ball user off halfback. So he's a guy we obviously rate because we traded a second round pick for him from the Swans in the offseason. He's just a rookie there, so. It also depends on what happens around those guys, and that's probably the same with Maynard. He's spent a bit of time through the middle through the pre-season, so he's won the other way that as a defender, he might end up putting up midfield numbers if he stays in there.
So, mate, how likely is Murray for a round one start? Just sort of going into the classic area here, but that's okay. It's okay. I'll squeeze
it. He'll get his chance, I think, this weekend coming up. Yep. So. We'll find out. He played in the VFL last week and was really good and used the ball really well. But it's also, he missed a bit of pre-season, so he's just come good now and he's really looking to peak at the moment, sort of
awesome. Fitness-wise,
whereas the others have sort of been around for a while. So he didn't get first crack at it in the first JLT, but I think we'll see what he can we want to see what he can do before round one. So whether that's in the second JLT or whether it's just through our own intra-club the week after, we'll wait and see.
Now, a big question for the Pies, and we had our afl.com.au draft earlier this week, and Brody Grundy went at 5, and we all know how good he is as a ruckman and as a fantasy ruckman as well. But I'm really worried about his output because the points difference is significant when Mason Cox plays in the team, in the ones, and... is that going to be happening a fair bit this year is the worry.
Yeah, I read that. I saw that, who was it? Someone had him on one of the knocks on you boys. On the bus.
I'm guilty. Guilty as charged, yep.
The Cox effect, wasn't it? Something like that.
It is, yep.
Not for the first time for Calvin either. Yeah.
Thanks for reading. Yep.
Yes, well, I actually think that while you might think it might be a bit of worry, I think that Coxie, as a forward, even in the JLT against the Giants, and I know obviously Phil Davis and those guys really well, so I know what they're capable of in terms of defending. He was getting his hands to so many balls.
He
wasn't plucking them all, but as a forward, he was that real presence for us.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't mark it, he's not outmarked, so he always brings it to ground, which is obviously what you want with guys like Elliott and Wells and those guys at his feet. So I wouldn't be as concerned as what I guess maybe what you boys are in terms of what his output's going to be. He's had a huge pre-season. He hasn't missed a beat. And he's still only young when you think about the age of ruckman and when they start to peak. He still should be 2 or 3 years off where he is, but yet he's been delivering what he has over the last couple of years.
Well, I wouldn't be taking him with my first pick like happened in our AFL.com.au draft, but I think that he's still going to be one of those top guys then, if we believe you there, Maxie, which we have no reason not to believe you. You've always given us fantastic mail all the time. So, mate, good luck in your draft coming up next week, and hopefully you will go pretty well. How many players do you have on your field for your draft?
Yeah, we've actually, just a new ask that. We've gone with 5-7-1-5.
Ooh, yep. Whoa. So with an 8-coach league, that's not too bad because you...
But it also does test your knowledge, because those last couple of positions, obviously you want to make sure if you're not getting the right defenders or forwards, or even though they're only five, because midfielders, obviously, there's a lot more of them, then those last couple of positions, you've got to be pretty clever the way you play it. So, there's a fair few more. I know it's more than what you guys have, but as you said, there's only 8 men draft compared to the 10.
Beautiful. Well, Maxie, thank you very much. Good luck next week, and good luck for the whole season. We will certainly check in with you to see how you're going along there. And would you call yourself the favourite to take it out this year?
I actually put up some odds and just had a little bit of a write up on each group and that. So I've put McCaffrey up the top, just because I know how much time he puts in. Yeah. He has won a few of them, I hate to admit, but yeah, he's pretty committed to it all. But also, he's going to pump up those guys with the bigger heads, just so they actually start to get really ahead of themselves, and you can swoop in underneath them.
That's what it's all about. We love our draft leagues, and we know you love that too, Maxie. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks, boys. Speak soon.
All right, Twitter, a couple of questions that we did throw out there to answer for draft. Dominic, at any stage in the draft, did you pick any players that were available to use as a trade lure? Now, what he said here, if a couple of coaches were lacking in their key ruck, and you've already got yours, Goldie was still available at around pick 100 for their league. So he picked him up and used to trade with. Would you do that sort of thing?
Yeah, definitely. It's clever.
Yeah, love it. That's a great move. Definitely.
Yeah. I actually chopped. Last year in our
That's
league,
right.
He did that with Cruiser, as he picked Goldie early, but he did Cruiser because he knew we were getting...
And then did he ditch Goldie?
Well, it backfired a fair bit because no one wanted Goldie.
Yeah,
so but that was a great idea.
Yeah. Now, Rob, he asks, if you set a pre-draft list, and one line is full, does it automatically fill another regardless if someone out of position is next, or does it add them to the bench spot? So it actually adds them to the bench spot. So that's your answer for that. So with your pre-draft list, that's why you should be drafting live.
Yeah.
And not auto-drafting.
That's
pretty much your thing. So your pre-draft list there to help you with that. But if you are really concerned about that, work out where you put your defenders and forwards and those sorts of things, where you'd realistically like to take them. And then if you do auto-draft a bit onto your bench, well, of course, you can use them as trade bait.
Possibly. Sure can.
Rightio, the Walrus asks, a major issue with drafting these days, a number of top mids with ongoing injury concerns. Ablett, Beams, Rockcliffe, Joel Selwood. How do these affect your rankings? We mentioned it before, but we do think about it, don't we?
Yeah, we definitely do. It's a huge concern, but then again, you don't want to avoid a player completely because of potential injuries, and then you watch them just pumping out 130s and you think, could have picked that.
That's exactly.
Didn't.
Durability is important.
It is.
I put a high price on that, but.
At when, though? When do you start to loosen up a bit? If your first round pick.
It's only a couple of points difference, I would say, if I'm looking at average, for example.
So your first round pick, it's the face of your franchise.
Yeah.
It's got to be someone you like, you're backing in. You want them to be durable, but some of the most durable players are due for an injury.
You can't predict an injury.
I certainly hear, if they're a soft tissue candidate every year, Chad Wingard, they drop.
They just get bumped slightly.
And it does depend definitely on the size of your league.
Yeah.
If you've got a smaller pool of players, we probably have someone on your bench that is okay to replace that.
Yeah,
so, if you're doing the smaller league structure and you've got 10 coaches or something, there's probably someone on the bench when Rocky is out for one of those weeks.
So
he's going to be replaceable.
So we've got Dane Beams at 9.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Here it is. Dane Beams hasn't missed a game in 3 years. It's the Dane Beams that you know and love now.
Yep.
Hasn't missed a game in 3 years. Where would you have him on the...
5 or 6?
Yeah?
Yeah, it'd be, yeah, probably around that.
So you've taken his history into account in that night.
100%.
There definitely. You go. I think that answers the question.
Good. Well, okay. Well, Ablett's another one. Ablett could be a 3 or 4.
Of course he can.
But we've got him a lot deeper than that, and most people are going deeper.
Well, I think he's going to start the season like a number one.
So, yeah, he's going to be awesome.
All right. Now, Josh Calloway asks, who are some risky bench options that might pay off? Now, in our league, we went fairly deep with that, and I was quite happy with some of the selections that I actually had late on that ended up on my bench. So on my bench, Dion Prestia.
Oh, great one.
Could go either way anyway, but he is a decent one back there. Then I've got Hayden Crozier.
Nice.
Might gain DPP, but as well, he's probably 75, which is more than what some people have got on their field, I think.
Yep. 100%.
Fiorini was another one. He might be handy.
He pinch hits, all right.
Yep.
But what about you guys? Did you guys have anyone? I'm looking at your side now, Roy. You've got Caleb Marchbank there. Nick Newman's another one.
Yeah, chasing
what DPP. Did you do with 15? Jared Waite.
Oh, I had to. This could be the All-Australian year, but I remember Cal during that draft said, like, Reece... Matheson was there.
Yep.
So he's going to obviously get a heap more midfield time with Rocky out. So that's a great
Yeah, I think mine was...
I got you Josh Dunkley
Josh
there.
Dunkley. That that's nice a great one. Coming off his 104. Yeah. So
Could be in the mix for a top... Geez.
He'd give a shake.
An F2 in our 16-man league is definitely a chance.
Oh, well, actually, the worst thing my team, I was snoozing a bit there, that last forward... Wadey's going to start round one for me because I drafted Motlop.
No, he might still be there. Now, Jared Hex says, how do other commissioners handle one-sided trades? I started off heavy-handed but relaxed a little bit. Nobody wants to see a rival team pick up a jet for peanuts, though, because it does affect the rest of the league.
Sure it does.
I think there's a fine line, though. You've got to – if someone's beaten someone in a trade.
Yeah, it is a fine line.
Because you still want to support that. But you don't want, like, if it ends up being, let's say, someone that was a first rounder traded for someone who was halfway through or later, you can't let that through. No. I can't let that through for the integrity of the league.
Yeah, yeah. The thing is.
But you don't know the need for the teams. That's the other thing.
Yeah, because that's where, you know, people deserve almost the right to explain what they've done. Because if someone is at pure dire straits, like, they cannot field a half decent forward line, and you've given them a couple of serviceable forwards and they've given you a premium in return. On paper, it looks hideous. Yeah. You'd have to, you know, put a cross through it. But some of them are justifiable, dog. That's why you're the mish.
Yep.
Now, Damon Adams says, thoughts on what you do if your league felt like the commissioner is doing a substandard job?
Oh, that's when the mate's put his hand up and gone, I'm the organised one, I'm the leader, and he's not pulling his weight.
Well, have a leadership spill. Make it a bit like the politics with that.
Here's my advice. If you're going to complain, make sure you are willing to do it.
Yeah, and do a better
Otherwise,
job.
Zip it.
All right, well, hopefully that's given you a bit of a hand to get your draft sorted. There's heaps going on around the country at the moment. And, boys, we're actually off to the Gold Coast today.
Yeah, we're off the Gold Coast.
We are heading up there to go and see the league. Calvin.
Yeah, there's a group of boys up there that invited us up for their draft day. And we've just gone, fellas... We're in, so
we can do that.
We are up for a look.
Very keen to check that out and hopefully help them out a little bit. And they have already downloaded the draft kit and printed that out, and we'll be having that there ready for their huge day, the big day on their calendar up on the Gold Coast. They're flying in from everywhere for it as well. It's pretty exciting.
It's a draft camp. Now, these guys have taken it to a new level. Like, you know, I said, don't just do a draft afternoon, do a draft day. These guys do a draft weekend.
Multiple days.
In a big house, there's a pool, all the boys are there.
And I think they're doing things like their draft order. I think they're doing like a bit of a computer game simulation of some wrestling or something like that. It's going to be very cool.
Good time.
Have a look out. We'll report on that. Pretty cool on that. Now, if you are having your draft, we would love to see your draft day. Take a photo, tweet it to us at AFL Fantasy. We want to see that. And, geez, get in touch with us too if you want to share with us your first round and any other photos and any other cool little stories from your draft, because it is an exciting time. And if you haven't played draft yet, you should. Get some mates together. You can have a pretty small draft league if you just want a little taste of it. And there's also the draft leagues that you can just join that are in the public leagues and you find out when they're on, and you might go, I'll be a part of that
I've noticed on Twitter there's been a bit of talk about it too. Someone's setting up a league, and you know, it only takes a couple of retweets and people are signing up for them.
Yep,
so
get involved.
It's good.
Absolutely great fun. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back on Monday night for the next podcast after the final JLT. And then, geez, it's not far away.
We may be a little bit dusty, boys, after the weekend. But
this Queensland trip,
Gold Coast trip will be awesome.
Good luck to everyone drafting in the next couple of weeks.